Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison here. Really excited to be here with you guys. Rob Brenton is here as well, taking you guys up to 6 o'clock. Rob, I don't think we need to make this part of the hits, but are we going to set a time on when we think that Colin Saunders is going to be back as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs? So, to my understanding, the waiver claim ends tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So the Chiefs can put in a waiver claim for Colin Saunders. So if you missed it, Colin Saunders was released earlier today by the Jacksonville Jaguars. It is a little bit different than what happened with Mike Pinnell. Mike Pinnell was released before the trade deadline. So as a veteran, you were just a free agent. You can go sign with whoever you want to go sign with. Because Colin Saunders was released after the trade deadline, he has to go through waivers. So the Chiefs, I believe, are 17th in the waiver claim. So I believe the Chiefs are going to put in a waiver claim tomorrow for Colin Saunders. I don't really know why they wouldn't. I mean, we're talking about a very small amount of money. We're talking about $500,000, which is a lot of money in a life sense, not really much in an NFL salary cap sense. You don't have to move anything around. So it's a very simple, do you want Colin Saunders? And do you want to run the risk of maybe you're the only team that puts in a claim or multiple teams and just making sure that you get him? Maybe you don't think anybody's going to put in a claim. You then get a chance to negotiate with him as a free agent and get him a little bit cheaper. But for $500,000, just put in the waiver claim if you like him and think that he can help you. I think they are going to put in a waiver claim, and I think that tomorrow we are going to mention it. Where are you at on Colin Saunders? Do you think he is coming back to Kansas City?
I mean, I feel like it's maybe not as sure a thing as Mike Pinnell, because Mike Pinnell was, I mean, layups are more difficult than Mike Pinnell being back a Chief to project. But I think it's very Mike Pinnell-ish. I think it feels like, oh, it's going to happen. The Chiefs have a need. He's a player they like. And boy, do they like to get the band back together. And Colin Saunders, he's part of the band. He, you know what he is? He's the same as Mecole Hardman. He's the same as Mike Pinnell. He's the same as Kareem Hunt. Like, hey, he's a player that played here once, was productive, went somewhere else, wasn't productive. Welcome back to the team. That's what the Chiefs love. So, yes, I think Colin Saunders will be a Chief by this time tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it, and I mean, this fits the kind of moves that they make. They know Colin Saunders. They like him. They're looking for help on the defensive line, and you can acquire him without having to give up any draft pick compensation. You can just go put in a claim, get him, and he's back on the team, and he's playing for you against the Indianapolis Colts, and we all know that's a team that wants to run the football effectively. I just don't really see many negatives in you putting in a waiver claim. Someone asked who would get released. I'd have to really go through the roster and find off just who's at the just bottom end of it, of who they could potentially release. I'm not really that worried about it when it comes to that. If they like Colin Saunders, I think you put in a waiver claim, you get him. He knows the system. You know him very well. You know he fits the locker room. I just don't really see many negatives in going out to get him.
I mean, I don't want to say it's like a no negative, like it's a can't miss, slam dunk, best move the Chiefs can make. I don't want this to come off like that, but I really can't think of any negatives toward the move. Other than they have to cut someone, but you're right. There's probably some guy at the bottom of the roster who's Jack Cochran. Jack Cochran feels primed to get cut.
They love him on special teams. They can't imagine a special teams without him.
What do they love more, him on special teams or when he holds? Because both of them are happening way too often.
Well, that's a very, very fair point. That is. All right, let's get to this before we get to the hits. I think what you are seeing is a changing of the guard right now in the AFC. I think the Chiefs are old money in this analogy. They have been good for a very, very long time. Basically, since the Chiefs made the decision to make Patrick Mahomes their starting quarterback, they have either been the best team or the second best team in the AFC every day since then. And I don't know if you can say that at this exact moment. Now, you will be able to say that if the Chiefs win on Sunday, even though the records might not indicate that, you will pick the Chiefs against everybody else in the AFC if the Chiefs win. I've said this week, it is a things stay the same win for the Chiefs, that the Broncos or whomever did not disrupt the balance that we have created in the AFC. We have spent basically 2 years talking about the same three teams, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo. Those are the three best teams in the AFC. The Super Bowl champion, the AFC representative, is going to come from those three teams. That's how we have talked about it. All summer we did this. And we were all wondering, well, who those teams were going to be that could potentially crash the party. Some people expected the Patriots to take a step forward. I don't know a lot of people that thought Indianapolis, but whether it was Houston could kind of bounce back a little bit. Pittsburgh was a name that was thrown out there. The Chargers. You guys know the teams that were discussed as possible playoff contender, Super Bowl contending teams that could pop up. We have our list heading into the second half of the season. It's Denver, Indianapolis, and New England. Those teams are new money in this analogy. Indianapolis just popped up. Recently, they're a startup tech company. New England was bad the last 3-4 seasons. They have now popped up as maybe the best team in the AFC. The Broncos, they have been fairly average, I would say, for the last 10 years. And now they have popped up as a team to be reckoned with. And these new money teams, these new money organizations, are now threatening the balance and the hierarchy of things that are happening in the AFC. The AFC Championship game has been Kansas City against Baltimore, Kansas City against Buffalo. It's been the Arrowhead Invitational. That's how it has been viewed. But these three teams are coming in, and they're demanding a measure of respect. I mean, I remember when the Chiefs were dealing with this. You remember the Chiefs lost to the Patriots two times that first season with Patrick Mahomes. They lost in the regular season. They lost in the postseason. The next year, late in the season, they went back to Foxborough. And I remember having Mitchell Schwartz on the show when we were talking about this. And he mentioned how important it was for the psyche of the Kansas City Chiefs to win that game. That you have to prove to yourself that you can go to any venue in the National Football League and you can win. The Chiefs did that, and we obviously know how the season went on. Now, I'm not saying that if the Broncos win this game, it ends the Chiefs' run and they're no more and you got to turn out the lights. I'm not saying that at all. But if the Broncos win this game with all of the advantages that I think are in Kansas City's favor, it is going to be a big statement for a, we're here. You guys have to take us seriously. So I'm looking at this as a really, really big test for the balance of power that we currently have in the AFC. And if things are going to be different, and maybe you will not believe it with the Broncos, you won't believe it with the Colts, you won't believe it with any of those teams until they prove it in January. And I don't think that that's a bad stance to have. if that's the stance that you're going to take. But it certainly will go a lot to, hey, maybe this is just a different kind of season that we're used to the Chiefs winning their division. We're used to the Chiefs kind of carrying it a certain way. Maybe this year in the NFL just isn't going to play itself out this way. And I do think that Sunday is going to go a long way in determining if that's the case for this season. All right, Rob, let's get to the hits.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Kansas always hits are brought to you by Baker University. Make your next era orange at Baker University, the first university in Kansas and ranked number one in return on investment among private universities in Kansas. Baker University, forever in our orange era. Well, Carrington, we have begun the countdown to Chiefs and Broncos, and last time these two teams met. Not that time. The time before that, where the game actually counted, it mattered. Patrick Mahomes started and not Carson Wentz. You noticed something very interesting about the Chiefs starting lineup then compared to what we expect the starting lineup to look like on Sunday at Mile High Stadium.
Yeah, I didn't notice this, actually. I got to shout out Price Carter for finding this. He does great work over at Arrowhead Attic. So if you go back to a year ago, so this game was on November 10th between the Chiefs and the Broncos. So this was the last game that the Chiefs played for real. The Chiefs won this game 16-14. You remember Denver had the, was it a block kick? The missed field was a block kick, right? It was a block kick to happen. So in this game, Wanye Morris was the starting left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. He then left with an injury and Kingsley Suamataia came in. So think about what version of the offensive line this was. And how the Chiefs offensive line has switched up so much since then. You also look at the pass catching options. DeAndre Hopkins was their leading receiver in this game. Rashee Rice didn't play, was out with the injury. Xavier Worthy had one catch for 11 yards in this game. Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman, and I mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. All of them had a catch. Nazi Johnson started for the Chiefs at cornerback in this game. The Broncos are a different team, no question. The Chiefs are also a radically different team than the last time that these two teams played each other for real. I'm not talking about the final game of the regular season, but their left tackle situation is drastically different than it was the last time that these two teams played each other. And also the pass catching options. Their offense is much better. If you're telling me that in this game you're going to have Rashee Rice, and he didn't play last year, Xavier Worthy, I know he's been a limited participant in practice, but I expect him to play. You got Hollywood, who also didn't play in that game because of when this happened. You got Juju, you got Tyquan Thornton, you got all of the options. So for a defense that has certainly a lot of weapons that can get after the other team's quarterback, you've just given your quarterback more things heading into this matchup. And you and I have talked about it, Rob. This is really a measuring stick for both sides of the ball who claim to be elite. The Chiefs offense, we've spent 3 weeks talking about how the old Chiefs offense was back. Well, you basically got everybody back for this game. Joshua Simmons is back. You got a healthy tackle. You have everybody available for this game. On the other side, when it comes to the Denver Broncos, you got a very dominant pass rush, a very, very good defense that has basically shut down everybody that you've gone up against. But you can question who the Chiefs have scored against. You also can question who the Broncos have stopped so far this season. That basically the only great offense that you've seen the Broncos go up against is the Dallas Cowboys, and they scored 24 points against them. And you would say the only team that the Chiefs have really scored against that you think has a decent defense is the Detroit Lions. So this is really a measuring stick to me in a lot of ways for both teams. Both of these teams have to answer very, very similar questions. If you want to play the schedule game with the Broncos, you can play the schedule game for the Chiefs. If you want to point to who have you scored against, who have you stopped, I think you can ask both of those questions. Both of these teams sit in very similar positions heading into this matchup.
Number two.
Carrington, we spent a lot of time today, and we'll probably continue spending time tomorrow talking about this, you know, hierarchy shift in the AFC. It was me, it was you, it was everyone. James Paul, pick a media member, and it was August, September, and people were saying it'll be the Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens and maybe the Bengals will be back. It was same old in the AFC. Well, we have three party crashers. When you look at the top of the AFC, the Broncos, the Chiefs play this week, is one of them, but also the Indianapolis Colts, the Chiefs play next week, and the New England Patriots, who play tonight. Of those three so-called party crashers, Carrington, the teams that are disrupting the expected outcome in the AFC, which team do you believe is most likely to make it to an AFC title game? Because it seems unlikely, albeit not impossible, that none of those three are making a run in the postseason. So who of the new blood, new money AFC do you think will be in the AFC title game?
I like Indianapolis the most out of those teams. Bo Nix has just really, really struggled so far this season. That just doesn't give me a lot of hope and confidence. We'll also see what happens with J.K. Dobbins. We had Joshua Dover on the show earlier. He doesn't believe that the Broncos' number one running back is going to play in this game. So if you're going to take away who has been their best and most consistent offensive option away from a quarterback who has already struggled a little bit, and that is not currently the case right now in Indianapolis, Jonathan Taylor's playing exceptionally well. Alec Pierce is also really starting to figure some things out, and their offense is really humming. I just trust the Colts more at this point in the season than I trust the Broncos. I'm going to go with the Colts. I think the Colts are the best out of these three teams.
Let me ask you a question, though, about the Colts. Because I think it's the Patriots, by the way. Because I think Drake May is the best quarterback of the group, and I think Mike Vrabel's the best coach. Like, people forget, because Mike Vrabel didn't cash the ultimate ticket in Tennessee. But not only did Mike Vrabel go to the AFC title game in Tennessee, where he lost to Kansas City, he was in town, a lot of people saw it. Do you know he was the one seed one year? Now, I know they had Derrick Henry, but they also had Ryan Tannehill. And I know that people look back at Tennessee and they're like, oh, it was just a blip, it was a nothing, kind of a fake moment in time. Well, they were that moment in time because of Mike Vrabel, and now he's doing those things again in New England. So I think it's going to be the Patriots. But let me ask you a question about the Colts making the AFC title game. Do you think at any point Daniel Jones turns back into a pumpkin? Because we saw a version of it in Pittsburgh. He turned the ball over like it was going out of style. He couldn't stop turning the ball over. He looked like New York Giants Daniel Jones. Do you think that's a one-off, or do you think eventually Daniel Jones turns back into a pumpkin? Because I can't in good conscience say it. The Colts are a AFC title good type of team with Daniel Jones at quarterback, knowing that it feels like at any moment, eventually Daniel Jones will turn back into Daniel Jones. Kind of how, and I'll let you make your point here in a minute. You remember last year, you kept questioning the Vikings' legitimacy because you kept saying, eventually, Sam Darnold is going to turn into Sam Darnold.
And he did.
That's how I feel about Daniel Jones and the Colts. And by the way, Sam Darnold and co. were 14-3 last year, and they lost in the first round. That's how I feel about Daniel Jones. Do you have any worry of him turning into a pumpkin?
Do you think there is a chance that the Colts are a form of San Francisco? Because I've seen Kyle Shanahan take Jimmy Garoppolo to a Super Bowl. I've seen Kyle Shanahan take Brock Purdy to a Super Bowl. I think Shane Steichen could be a good coach. I saw what he did as the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I saw what he was able to get out of Jalen Hurts that we have seen has a limited skill set at times. And I have now seen, as he has gotten away from Anthony Richardson, that I think was drafted purely off physical traits and not really based on being a good NFL quarterback, I've seen what their offense can look like if you give him a capable quarterback. Now, I'm not the highest sold on Daniel Jones, but can Daniel Jones continue to stay out of the way, not make mistakes, rely on that run game, make plays and make throws when you need to, and their defense win games in an AFC right now that feels like it's kind of turned upside down? Let's remove Kansas City from this conversation because everybody here agrees they like Kansas City. You think they're good. Who else do you really know in the AFC, and who else do you really trust? I mean, somebody has to go to the AFC championship game, right? Like, so if you think Kansas City is going, another team has to be able to do it. And where I would give the Colts a lot of credit based on what we've seen them do so far is, man, I think the Colts have kind of challenged themselves early on in the season. They beat the Broncos earlier this year. They went on the road and beat the Chargers this season. They beat Atlanta. I'll give you credit for beating Atlanta on a neutral side. I think Atlanta's a competitive team. I give the Colts, like, I don't think we can play the schedule game and who have you beaten if you're the Indianapolis Colts. I think you've played some good teams. You've lost to a couple of good teams. This is a team that is battle tested, and they're not, to me, just skating off of the division that they're in.
I agree with that. I think the Colts, all maybe I will end up looking like an idiot on the Colts, and that's fine. Like, I've said dumber things on this show, so who cares? But it feels like all the numbers, all the analytics, everything about the Colts is, oh, they're real. Except for I can't get over it at quarterback. Like, you look at their point differential, and I understand point differential in the end-all be-all. Man, theirs is incredible. Like, they have one of the best, if not the best, point differential in the AFC. Like, they have the offensive player of the year on their team and their running back. You're right. I think Shane Steichen can coach football a little bit. Do I think he's the best coach in the AFC? No, but I don't think he's some bumbling Mike McDaniel type of doofus. I think he's a good coach. Like, they play in a division where they're leading, and they do. It's a little advantageous, and they're playing really good defense. Their defense, Lou Anarumo. Kansas City fans have the utmost respect for Lou Anarumo. I think Lou Anarumo is doing a good job with that group. They added Sauce Gardner. They have Sauce Gardner, Charvarius Ward. They have a really good roster, but just I can't make the mental leap to accept that Daniel Jones isn't going to turn back into Daniel Jones next year. Much like I made this analogy earlier, last year I was a believer in the Vikings. I was wrong, but I was a believer because I thought Kevin O'Connell was a good coach, and they had all the pieces. They just needed Sam Darnold to keep being Sam Darnold. Eventually, he stopped being the Sam Darnold he was last season. I'm not going to get fooled twice in that same vein, so I'm going to be late to the Colts party because outside of everything except quarterback says I should be part of the party, but I can't do it. I can't do it right now with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and it just sounds to me, and I don't think this is a bad stance to have, it sounds to me like you want to be early on Drake May. Because
100%.
Because if you are believing in the Patriots, then you think that the Patriots have one of those quarterbacks that I think you know. I know this season has been a little bit different, but if you're going to be able to make a deep run in the AFC playoffs for the next 5 years, you better have one of those quarterbacks. That I acknowledge. The Colts are a one-off. The Colts next year will be a team that wins seven games, they miss the playoffs, and they got to try to capitalize while they have it right now, and that's largely because of their quarterback. But the teams that are mostly consistent in this conference, those are the ones that have the QBs. It's Kansas City. It's Buffalo. It's Baltimore when their quarterback has been healthy. These are the teams that do it each and every year. If you think that Drake May is that kind of quarterback, then we have to insert New England into this conversation because they got a guy that you feel can eventually go toe-to-toe with the Mahomes, the Allen, a Burrow, with all of those guys. It just comes down to if you think Drake May's that guy.
And I don't know he's Allen, Burrow, Jackson, Mahomes. Like, those guys are arguably, I get Burrow's not part of that group, but those are arguably three Hall of Famers. I don't know that Drake May's that, but for a cross-conference analogy, I think you'll understand this. You know what I think Drake May is? I think Drake May is Baker Mayfield. I think you can win a lot of football games and you can be successful in the postseason with Baker Mayfield as your quarterback. Is he flawed? Probably. Is he perfect? No. Are there better quarterbacks? Yes. But every year you can say confidently we have a top 10 quarterback in the league, and because of that, we have a chance to be really good. Some years you'll come up short because he'll make the fatal mistake. Some years you'll take steps beyond his ability because everything's just clicking right. But when you have that guy at quarterback, you're never in a bad spot. So how I feel about Drake May is maybe he's not transcendent like Allen and Mahomes, who are headed one day to Canton. But I think he's the AFC's Baker Mayfield, where you say you can never count that guy out. You don't want to play that guy in the postseason. He might not be the best quarterback, but he's certainly a very good quarterback.
I want to read this text to you guys really quickly, Robin. I know we're up against it here. Someone texted in, CDOT, there's been a lot of Broncos glazing on the show today talking about changing of the guard. How can you say all of this with the one season sample size? This is the analogy I'll use, at least how I'm looking at this. You guys remember back in the days when you went to an arcade and there was one person who was just really, really good at Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter. And everybody would put their quarters up at the top and they would try to challenge this person and see if they could beat him. Well, one of those people is the Chiefs. They have taken a challenge from basically everybody over the course of the last 5 years or so, and none of these other teams have been able to knock them off, especially in the division. They've won the division 9 consecutive times. You know how hard that is? I don't care how bad the division is around you. You know how hard it is to be better than the same 3 teams in a league that fluctuates up and down, injuries happen, personal things happen. It is very, very difficult to do. So the Chiefs have just been over here. They have just been taking on all comers and people that have popped up to the arcade. This is the newest person that has popped up and is now going to put their 2 quarters into the machine. Man, if they win and they get you off the sticks, it doesn't matter how many wins you had before. Hey, you got to get off the sticks. You got to let somebody else play and then you'll get your turn. That's how I'm kind of looking at this individual game. It obviously doesn't negate all of the things that the Chiefs have accomplished over the last 5 years or so. But as I've said this week, goal number one for Kansas City every single year is win the division. And there has not been a team over the last decade that you guys have been willing to entertain the possibility that they could win the division. The reason I get called Chargers Dot is I had the goal to one year think, hey, this other team can win the division. there is finally a team for the really the first time in the Mahomes era where I don't know if the Chiefs are winning the AFC West. I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I think they win the division, but I don't know. And that has not been something that we have worried about, thought about, debated in a very, very long time. So that's why I'm interesting to see what happens here. We've been using a lot of Kansas basketball analogies. This is Iowa State that thinks they're ready to win the conference. This is Baylor. This is Houston. This is Arizona. This is one of those teams that pops up and they are threatening the way things are done around here. This is the way that it's been done around the AFC West for 9 years. There's a team that is threatening to get the Chiefs off of the sticks. So I want to see what version of the Chiefs pop up. Because if it's the same version that popped up against the Chargers, they are losing that game. If it's the same version that popped up against the Buffalo Bills a couple of weeks ago in the regular season, they are losing this game. The Chiefs have to know how important this game is. Mahomes has lost one time to the Denver Broncos in his career. Andy has dominated this division. They know how important this game is. And champions usually rise to the occasion when they're challenged in this way. Coming up on the other side, if you missed it, we'll play the best of James Palmer. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really happy to be here with you. Earlier today, we were joined by James Palmer, formerly of NFL Network. He currently is with Bleacher Report. And we talked about how Bo Nix has regressed this season.
Yeah, I think regression is the word that we oftentimes use. What really is the truth, Carrington, honestly, is like There's no book on you rookie year. There's no book on how you like to play with your play caller. There's no book on the tendencies you have in the NFL game. And when I talk to teams, it's, you know, there's a book on the guy now. And defenses know his tendencies of what he likes to do. You can't rely on a couple of those things that you really relied on your rookie year because people didn't know that was something that you really love to do within this offense. So he's having to react back to the way defenses are playing him. I do think there's been somewhat of a regression for sure, and a lot of that happens with the growth of these young quarterbacks. I mean, I'll be honest, like Patrick's been the outlier in all honesty in terms of quarterback growth throughout a player's career, the way he's played in the early seasons of it. And it's this, like, all right, they're going to take this away. You got to change and pivot to this. The rookie year, we know that you do these five things really, really well. Let's stick with them. Well, guess what? Those five things don't work in year two. We got to make it to 10. And they wanted to expand this offense in year two. They really did. They thought off that first year, all right, we can really expand this for Bo. Well, they put a lot out there and a lot on his plate. And so no quarterback growth is linear by any stretch, but he's not playing the way that they expected him to play in year two, for sure. I mean, the crazy part about it is, and I put this out this week because it just kind of blew my mind, in the first three quarters, there's only one quarterback that has a lower completion percentage than Bo Nix, and it's Cam Ward. I mean, Bo Nix is completing under 60% of his passes in the first three quarters. There's only one quarterback that has fewer yards per attempt than Bo Nix in the first three quarters. That's Dylan Gabriel. I don't think I'm, you know, listing murder a row here of quarterbacks that he's sitting around in these first three quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, they seem to find a little bit of magic. I think he's more comfortable playing up-tempo. But with the way Sean Payton runs this offense and the personnel groupings they change in and out, it's hard to play at a faster speed. I think Bo likes to play up-tempo. And they do that in the fourth quarter, and maybe they'll start building off that a little bit further.
You know the saying, you are what your record says you are. Do you believe that's the case with the Broncos? Because their record would indicate that they're one of the best teams in the National Football League. But through a couple of those games that we mentioned, I mean, they beat the Jets by 2 points. They beat the Giants by 1 point and needed to score 33 points in the final quarter. Houston, 18-15. We talked about Thursday Night Football. Do you think that the record is indicative of this Broncos team is one of the five best teams in the league?
I don't know, because I feel like we can say that about a lot of these teams right now in this season. And I do think you are what your record is. You're right. And it's funny. I had Zach Allen on my show today, and we were kind of talking about winning these one-score games. I mean, they've been outstanding at it this year. And he was like, you know, it's kind of funny. That's what the Chiefs were last year. They just found a way in every one-score game to go out there and come out on top. And it's been kind of flipped. And he's kind of right. And there's just little things that happen in the course of the end of the game that a lot of people say. A handful of plays make up the deciding factor in some of these games. The point is, I would say, they're in all of these games. You could make the argument, you know, adversely to what you said, and I agree with you. I mean, they've beaten two backup quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Four of their wins are against teams that are last place in their division of this. So, like, of course, there's ways to pick it. You could even say there was a leveraging call at the end of the Colts game, who many people believe the Colts are arguably the best team in the AFC. You can make an argument in some cases for that. They beat the Colts. There was a ridiculous leveraging call on the final field goal that won the Colts the game. And they were an insane play from Justin Herbert on a touchdown to Keenan Allen that was just unbelievable from beating the Chargers. They could be undefeated, Carrington. Like, they literally could. And we'd probably be having the same conversation. So it's been really interesting to watch them play. I think the defense is good enough to keep them in any game. I would say this, as I've talked to people around the league, this is the type of season, if you play good ball defensively, you run the ball well, you don't hurt yourself, you can be kind of a little bit of a sloppy team and advance through the postseason this year. It's just that type of year because the heavy hitters in the AFC are not what we've seen in years past. Like, it's the last 6 years have been dominated by Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson. Well, those teams haven't played the way we've seen them play in years past. And so that opens the door for teams like Denver or Indianapolis to maybe not be perfect, but have the records that they have.
This is a measuring stick game for both teams. Like, I don't want to paint it like only the Broncos have to answer questions and the Chiefs don't have to answer questions.
Yeah,
the Chiefs have beaten one good team this year. They had a home win against the Detroit Lions when the Lions were super banged up. I've been making this point. I feel like there are two doors for Kansas City. If they win this game, this is the game that they've always won. They have never lost this game with Patrick Mahomes. Important game in the AFC West. They are shooting 100% from the field. If they lose this game, and we're talking about a team that's 5-5 in Week 11, we are going to have to look at the Chiefs for the first time as a wild card team, and we have never done that since Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback of the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And I think what's happened is, and I make this comparison often, and I don't know if people in Kansas City like it comparison to the Patriots of their heyday or dislike it. I mean, they're both the two dynasties we've seen. They're the two most dominant quarterbacks we've seen in recent memory. And so I understand a lot of the parallels, but like there's been these years where New England used to be able to feel themselves out in the first month of the season and go, all right, what are we this year? Obviously our roster changed. What can we be? The constant is obviously Brady, and how do we change and adapt, and we can turn it on. And Kansas City has had that luxury as well, as they've had slow starts with defenses in years past, and they've been historically bad as a defense through the first month of the season years past and still gone on and won Super Bowls, and they've had the luxury of doing that. The comparison I make between the two, Carrington, is like, look at the division of the AFC East that the Patriots were dealing with during all this. Relatively weak. And most of the time, the Chiefs have been able to deal with this with a relatively weak AFC West. They really have. And this year, you're seeing it in the start that the Chargers had and the way the Broncos are playing. And it's a little tougher to climb out of a hole if the rest of your division is better. And that's where I think things have shifted for Kansas City. Not that they've gotten essentially worse, it's just the rest of the division has gotten a lot better. So, like, if you take a look at where they're at, I think their chances of getting the number one seed if they lose this game are at 1%, literally 1%, and their chances of missing the playoffs go to 39%. If they win this game, their chances of missing the playoffs drop to 16%, and their chances of the one seed go up to, like, 7%. So, like, this is, I think you're right, a massive measuring stick for where the Chiefs are because of the spot they put themselves in. The point I would make between these two teams that I think is maybe being overlooked a little bit is I believe the Chiefs go to one of the 20th easiest schedule the rest of the way out, after having one of them maybe like the fifth toughest in the first stretch.
The Chiefs always play in these kind of games. Man, it feels like this is the biggest game that Denver has had at home in a very, very long time, that we talk about that measuring stick and kind of letting the NFL know that you are here. I don't think you can undersell what a Broncos win would mean for this team, for this conference, if they're able to knock off the Chiefs.
It'd be massive. It would be. And you're exactly right. I mean, I've covered all those big games in Kansas City. There's a reason I'm getting sent there. It's like, this is the team. These are the matchups. These are the games. And this is a what league? A quarterback-driven league. There has not been a quarterback in Denver since Peyton Manning retired in 2015. There just hasn't been. I mean, it's just been an embarrassing revolving door of you know, drafting guys in the first round. Paxton Lynch might be the biggest whiff of a quarterback in the first round in recent memory. You try to bring in Case Keenum or Joe Flacco or Trevor Siemian, you and I were joking around about. Like Russell Wilson, one of the bigger trades that have flopped. They've tried to fix this thing, but they haven't been relevant because they haven't had quarterback play. You know, those Vic Fangio years, go back and ask Patrick Mahomes how fun it was going against Vic Fangio's defenses in those years. He hated it. It was awful. He still won all the games because they didn't have a quarterback. But this team has just been sitting there, you know, as one of the marquee franchises of the NFL, in my opinion. I mean, they own a region of the country in the Denver Broncos, and they just have not been relevant. They used to hang their hat on a saying that was incredible. They had more Super Bowl appearances than losing seasons as a franchise before they went through this drought. I mean, that's an amazing stat. And now they do feel like they're back in relevancy. They do feel like they have a quarterback. I think that's still to be determined, in all honesty, a year and a half into Bo Nix's career, whether he is the guy. But they do essentially have hope for the first time. And I think that's why you're right when you say that this team actually has an opportunity to beat Kansas City at home and move to 9-2 and really prove to themselves they're back part of, you know, the elite teams in the NFL. When you play a team like Kansas City, that is the measuring stick that all these teams have. It's why everybody, you know, everybody gives their best shot to Kansas City. It's why that game with the Bills was essentially like, you know, people call it the Bills Super Bowl. I'm not sure if that's the case, but you get the drift of it. That's the way everybody feels, and that's where Kansas City has put themselves by their play over the last several seasons, obviously, as being the best team in football. And Denver's just trying to get back to that.
That is our guy James Palmer joining us on the show earlier today. If you missed it, be sure to check out the podcast page and hear what he had to say. We got Thursday night football tonight between the Patriots and the Jets. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know what I have? Willpower. I don't know if I can sit there for a full 60 minutes and watch all of Jets Patriots, man. I don't think that's what God wants for me. I don't think that's his plan for my life. I mean, I'll put an eye on it, but I can't do it. If you can do it, hey, Godspeed, man. We got NBA going on. We got a little college basketball going on. I recently went to the library and I checked out the Friday Night Lights book. I've been reading that this week in my free time. I might go buy a puzzle. Legos, they're pretty popular. I don't have it in me to watch 60 minutes of the Jets. I mean, I'm going to watch the Patriots. I mean, I've seen them play already, and they're going to play in more important games. I don't have it in me for Thursday Night Football. Rob, you got it in you? You going to watch Thursday Night Football tonight?
I might have it on the background while I do other stuff in the house, like, you know, get home, have some dinner, hang out, chill, and have it on the background. But, you know, if the wife says, hey, I'd rather watch something else, I'm not going to fight her. I'm not going to push back if she chooses something else. So
yeah, I don't really know how you can. I mean, we got Purdue and Alabama in college basketball, so we got two top 10 teams going up against each other. It's, I mean, basically every night in college basketball – in November, there's at least one decent game to watch. We got that coming up in just a couple of minutes. I mean, I'd rather watch Purdue Alabama than watch Thursday Night Football if those are my options.
I mean, for me personally, yes. I'd also say, speaking about my home with Thursday Night Football, last week I was like, hey, this Broncos Raiders game, there's an impact on the show. Let's just watch Broncos Raiders.
Terrible decision.
I stuck my neck out for the wrong game. That's the mistake I made at home. I even used the car. It's for the show. We got to watch it. And about halfway through the game, I was like, I should have just watched this by myself in the basement. I gave away a lot of good equity of the main TV at home for that game.
Yeah, you want to know what beat me down? What beat me down was Thursday Night Football and Monday Night Football last week. I was excited for Packers and Eagles. I mean, I treated it like it was Mayweather-McGregor. I went on my little websites. I put it on the Fire Stick. I'm sitting down. I'm watching. I'm ready to go. That absolute stinker of a game. I turned that game off at halftime. I didn't get back to that game till it was like 3 minutes left. Man, absolutely not. I'm not doing it. If y'all got it, y'all got it. I'm excited to watch Purdue later today. I haven't got a chance to see Purdue play so far this year. People think they can win the chip this season.
Not the way they looked against IUPUI last week.
No, that's, come on
now. Or Oakland, not IUPUI.
Yeah, come on now.
I mean, they were in a dogfight with Oakland. Like, that's...
I mean, you know how that is, though. A little sleepwalking.
That's true.
The Ticket Fairy came through and offered me tickets for KU Princeton, and I said, you know what? I'm load managing. That's what I said.
Hey,
I'm load managing.
I don't think that's one of the load management games.
That's what I said. I said, I'm load managing. I'm waiting to go to the KU game when they play UConn. When they play UConn, yeah, I'll be in attendance.
That's fair.
But a Princeton on a Saturday, I can't do it. I don't have it in me.
That's fair.
Are you going to be there?
Yeah, I think I'll go to this one.
Okay. This should be good. Mm-hmm. Can't complain about this game.
Weather's going to be nice. Go up there early, get some lunch, go see the Hawks. That's not a bad Saturday. Maybe I'll get to see Darren Peterson. There's a 50-50.
I mean, he'll be there. I'm not saying you won't get a chance to see him. You'll see him. Yeah, you'll
will
see
I see him play
sure.
basketball? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he won't be at the game. I just don't know. I don't know if he's going to play in the game. I don't know.
Seeing him was like seeing Rob Riggle at a game. Like, oh, I see he's down there. That doesn't mean I saw him.
Yeah, for sure. It's a decent college football weekend. It's not the greatest slate that we have.
Pitt-Notre Dame got game day. Pitt-Notre Dame doesn't move me at all.
Yeah, Notre Dame's on the road, though, so that might end up being, you know how that always goes. Yeah, they're on the road. Oklahoma, Alabama is a thing this weekend. Iowa, USC, a classic Big Ten matchup with those two teams. Virginia and Duke is actually one to watch that's kind of important in the ACC. They could make the college football playoff in theory, right? If they win the ACC?
Or they could trigger a nightmare scenario where they're outside the top 16 and they don't have to put an ACC school in.
Mm.
That's the rule. If you're a conference champion in the top 16, you're in. But if you're outside the top 16...
I think we're all waiting for Texas-Georgia. That's the game to watch this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's the night one, though. So
I
can go to Lawrence, get back, and watch that
one.
Oh,
for sure. Yeah, for sure. That's not going to interrupt your... That's the only reason why I would even consider going to Allen, honestly. It's like, all right, I can watch this. I get home by 5. Yeah, sure. I can still watch Texas-Georgia. That's the only reason I would even consider going. But I will not be in attendance. I will not be at the Princeton game. All right, we got a fun show planned for you guys, a busy show planned tomorrow. It's a Red Friday. Chiefs and Broncos, take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over a million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve. I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.